time now.
This is good old JR Jim Ross, WWE Hall of Famer, and you're listening to the New Age Insiders.
This is the New Age Insiders Wrestling Show.
Hey, this is Cody Rhodes, the Prince of Pro Wrestling, and you are listening to New Age Insiders.
With your host, Jason Moltov.
We watch wrestling to enjoy. If you're not enjoying it, why are you watching?
Liam Stryker.
If I told you once, I told you 1,000 times. Storytelling, storytelling, storytelling.
And Bill Neville.
Unpredictability is the answer. When wrestling's unpredictable, it's at its best.
This is Warbeard Hansen.
This is Johnny Mundo.
This is Donovan Dijak.
Say hello to the bad guy, Scott Hall.
This is Mean Gene Okerlund.
This is Zack Ryder.
Hi, this is Howard Finkel.
I'm Bill Goldberg, and the New Age Insiders are next.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1, liftoff.
Are the 2018 Wrestling Radio Awards live show of the year.
Indeed.
My name is Jason Moltov.
I'm Liam Stryker.
And I'm Bill Neville.
We are the New Age Insiders. You can find us on Twitter and please do, including live during this broadcast, at New Age Insiders, at Liam NAI, at Bill Neville. NAI, the website where you can find us live every Wednesday night at 8 o'clock, is newageinsiders.com and twitch.tv/newageinsiders TV. And all together at an incredible experience this weekend, we are the premier place for wrestling fans to connect, discuss, and to be heard. Well, where to begin with what could very well be one of the best wrestling shows to ever take place anywhere, anytime,
period. Oh, did we go to a wrestling show last night?
It feels like a blur. It feels like we landed Thursday and then all of a sudden we're here. But All In, without any exaggeration, may be the best wrestling show that I have attended, and we've been to WrestleManias together, Royal Rumbles, SummerSlam.
Final Battle.
All the things that you usually attribute to being the biggest shows of the year, All In is going to take that cake and then some, because it was just different than anything else. You can't compare All In to any WrestleManias. You can't compare it to any traditional pay-per-views. You can't compare it to ECW, I think, in a true linear way. I think it stands on its own at what it tried to accomplish with a collection of talent from around the world, and I think that they, without exaggeration, could not have done a better job.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, that was the biggest thing. At the end of the day, like, we've been spending a couple of days here at StarCast, and the buzz around the event was real, and everybody was very, very excited, and we've had the better part of a year to get excited for All In and hype it up in our brains and fantasy book it in our brains, and the show lived up to the hype. It lived up to everything that it was expected to be. And
then some.
And then some. You know, the fact that Chris Jericho just showed up on this show.
How surprised are you to see Chris Jericho last night?
I am 100% surprised.
I didn't expect that at all.
That was probably the last person. You know, everybody was floating around being like, hey, who do you think is going to show up? You know, Pac or CM Punk or something like that.
Yep.
And the real answer turned out to be Chris Jericho, who nobody had on the list.
Yep, and that was the right choice, because the reality is, we talked about this a lot leading up to the event itself, is that last night wasn't about CM Punk. Last night wasn't about Hulk Hogan. Last night really wasn't even about Adrian Neville, Pac, whoever you want to call him, X-Pac. It wasn't about any of them. It wasn't
about X-Pac, though.
It wasn't about big names being the draw from WWE. It was about the fact that this event sold 10,000 seats with Kenny Omega, with Okada, with the roster that they had assembled and the guys that have been working around the world, and not just on Monday Night Raw. And that's why this event was a success.
Yeah.
And so quite frankly, I'm psyched that we didn't see CM Punk.
Oh, absolutely.
It wasn't his show.
It wasn't those singularity draws. While some of these people are draws in their own right, you look at it and it was the roster. It was the complete top to bottom that built the show, that drove the show.
If you had to have a surprise, like I said, instead of CM Punk, instead of Hulk Hogan, instead of somebody like that, it was Chris Jericho, which works in a story environment. You know what I mean? Like, in theory, as much fun as some people would have had and some people would have hated it, let's just say we're in the middle of All In and Hulk Hogan shows up.
Yeah, what are we doing?
Why?
Yeah.
Why is Hulk Hogan here?
You already have that built-in story with Jericho and Omega.
Exactly. And then you even think about CM Punk. Like, yeah, we are in Chicago. Okay, gotcha. Why else would he be part of this show?
You know what
I mean? How about the fact that he built zero bricks in the house that is All In?
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
Exactly.
How about that? And I'm just psyched that if anybody was going to get that, oh my God, they're here, it was a guy like Chris Jericho.
Correct.
Or Joey Ryan.
Well, sure. Well, I think that we can all talk about the fact that Joey Ryan is now back from the dead. It seems official.
Yeah.
The man has got another erection, which is the sign of life for Joey Ryan.
It was the resurrection.
I'm going to say it on, I'm going to say it out loud because...
Nobody else got that?
I got you. Okay. I got you.
I'm going to say it out loud because this is going to be my only yeah but about the whole thing. We got the Dick Druids, and I feel like we deserved the Dick Undertaker. I was waiting for the Dick coat and the Dick hat.
I'm with you there.
And the Dick gong, and you could call it a dong. And I was fully expecting the Dick Undertaker. Now, sure. I knew he was going to like, it was. I'm expecting a very AJ Styles TNA kind of thing where he's like, I'm really moody and then suddenly I'm happy.
Or at the very least, like sort of like an Shawn Michaels God entrance where he's wearing all white. He comes out of the white smoke and all that.
My whole thing is this was supposed to parallel WrestleMania only in the way that it was supposed to be a gigantic event. Flip Gordon played the role of Hulk Hogan seamlessly.
That's where we got Hulk Hogan.
We had the black machismo and then, I wanted the Dick Undertaker to really polish the whole thing off.
Yeah.
What was your
match? The dictator.
What was your, there, that works just fine. What was your match of the night from All In? And it's, I know it's difficult to choose, but what's your match of the night?
In the event, I kept thinking to myself, well, this can't get better than this. It can't get better than this. But I would have to say I keep going back to Kenny Omega versus Pentagon Jr. Yeah,
that's
right. That had to have been the pacing was amazing. The athleticism was on display. They meshed so well together. And it was really good to get Pentagon out there to a different kind of audience because he's been wrestling in TNA, he wrestles in Lucha Underground, and while those have their fans, it still doesn't have the same type of exposure that New Japan does in the wrestling community.
Sure.
So having Pentagon go out there and kind of have a coming out party a little bit to a wider audience that might have been watching this on pay-per-view. Was really good for him.
Yeah, I think Omega versus Pentagon was my match of the night, and so instead of just spinning wheels and talking about the same thing, I want to give a shout-out to somebody who I thought had maybe one of, if not the individual performances of the night, which was Jordynne Grace, because what Jordynne Grace did is something that is a memory from the event. She was the only woman in the over-the-budget battle royal getting out there.
Yep.
I thought if Flip didn't do what Flip did, that she might win. And just the fact that she was able to work with Brian Cage, who is, the actual Incredible Hulk, go out there toe-to-toe. One of my favorite spots, moments, whatever, from the whole show was her getting up in Bully Ray's face and saying, come on, hit me. Why wouldn't you hit me? Because I'm a girl, hit me. And it's just like, this is incredible. You know what I mean? Like, we all know the deal with wrestling, but when you can lose yourself in a show and have it be that immersive, it's an incredible experience. And I think that Jordynne Grace did an outstanding job of holding her own, creating a memory, and showing people that, like, don't get me wrong, she could have been in that match with Tessa Blanchard and Chelsea Green, and that would have been great too. But I think what Jordynne Grace brings to wrestling and what her gimmick is to this table was, I'm going to get in there, I'm going to hold my own, I'm going to prove a lot of people wrong. And last night, she went in there, she held her own. And other than Flip, and which was, one of the greatest moments of the night, Jordynne Grace was exciting and different and fun. And when you can book her to credibly win that thing, because if she had won, she would have looked very credible. I think that's just an outstanding job by everybody involved and not having taboos about, trying to make a girl look good or anything like that.
Bill?
I think all the matches were really, really good for their own reasons, but I found myself getting lost in the Cody match. That match felt like the biggest fight feel wrestling match I've ever seen live. And you had each guy coming out with their entourage. It kind of felt like a boxing match. Cody had Brandy and DDP, and even Glacier was in his clan.
Dreamer.
And Tommy Dreamer. And then Nick Aldis comes out with Jeff Jarrett and Daivari and those guys. And it's like, you got guys in your corner and guys in your corner. And both of those guys had the crowd in the palm of their hand. Cody had everyone in his corner. Everyone was totally against Nick Aldis. And it was awesome.
I'm going to go ahead and admit something maybe that I shouldn't, but up until about like 3 months ago, I didn't know that NWA Championship was active.
Right.
So
I feel like it might not have been.
So coming up and all of a sudden it was like Flip might get a shot at the NWA title. It was like, son of a gun. You know what I mean? Good for him.
Yeah.
Is he fighting for the ECW Championship next week? But now what the NWA title has become, because of what Flip did, because of what Nick Aldis did, because of what Cody Rhodes is about to do, now that championship is front and center and one of the titles again, like it belongs to be in the industry. But that's another amazing byproduct of All In, is the NWA championship is very much back because don't you want to go see what Cody Rhodes does with that championship?
Exactly.
Yeah. Looking at it's magical that what this event did, because it brought a championship with such great lineage and such poetic justice of him winning his father's belt.
Yep.
Back to relevance. And yeah, I don't think that the NWA has a traditional roster right now.
No, they don't.
So him just going around like Ric Flair, just carrying that thing around, all the credit to Nick Aldis, because he was great as the foil for this.
Correct.
But having Cody Rhodes be the ambassador now for the NWA is huge.
People have been saying, that, you know, because people are terrible at tweeting, they've been tweeting us and saying, well, why? What's in it for the NWA? Why would the NWA give their championship to Cody Rhodes? Like, what, are you kidding me? Yeah. Because the last guy to have it was Magnus, and then I don't know.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
It wasn't relevant. It wasn't relevant since they split with TNA.
Exactly. So if you want to talk about getting that championship back on track, now the guy that just starred in the biggest event that people are going to be talking about for until the next one, now he's walking around with your championship. You know what I mean? That's the value of it. Why do we put the title on AJ Styles? So he'll walk around with it. You know what I mean? And that's the value of these championships.
Don't forget the Rhodes name is synonymous with that title, too.
Right. I mean, the whole thing, like, as Liam said, it's beautiful in its symbolism.
Yep.
And even in a less whimsical way, it just makes sense for the championship right now. If you're going to tell me it's important, put it on an important person.
Exactly.
With all due respect to Magnus, who did a great job since the flip match.
Yes.
It's on Cody Rhodes now, and that's just infinitely more star power and infinitely more oomph as that belt continues to travel. And, you know, whatever they're going to do with it, it's better that they're doing it with Cody Rhodes.
Magnus also, or Nick Aldis, he did a great job. He did a great job bringing himself back to relevance, because he left TNA, and I had no idea where he was. You know what I mean? Like, where he was going. He didn't go to Progress. Didn't go to ICW.
He had been like in GFW and stuff. He had been the GFW champion, and people were like, "Oh, I didn't know that was a thing."
Yeah, right. And so for him to kind of get back on the map, I liked this version of him, and he was great. The National Treasure was a ton of fun.
I think this guy was everything that if Vince McMahon closed his eyes, this is what he wanted Wade Barrett to be.
Correct. Yeah, and he executed that perfectly. And I would like to see what Nick Aldis does now after this.
Sure. What do you think is the next step for the Young Bucks, Cody Rhodes, on TV? Because there's that. Yeah, I'm sure they're going to sleep till Tuesday. But this was an independent promotion in every way, shape, or form. This wasn't a Ring of Honor production. It wasn't a New Japan Pro Wrestling production. We used all of their parts, but we didn't call it their car, right?
Right.
Now that we've got all this clout, now that we've got all this goodwill that we've built up on this event, how does that play into being the Elite? How does that play into TV? What does Cody Rhodes, who is a full-time Ring of Honor star, as the NWA champion, look like? Where do you want them to go from here?
I want them to turn up the heat on being the Elite. You know, you looked at that show, and if you've been following being the Elite, they paid off everything.
Like, honestly,
like
everything.
Everything they paid off from being the Elite. So it shows that you can have a different style of television. You don't need to have traditional, you know, USA, Fox, or, you know, Sci-Fi to have TV, because people watch this on YouTube or Twitch. And I would love them to turn up the heat, because, you know, more production value, maybe longer episodes, you know, and just go more in, all in.
So poor Nick Jackson doesn't have to edit every episode himself. Just add a team.
That's amazing. They really are this, like, rogue guerrilla operation. Right. You know, they're all millionaires.
Right.
It's like, it's unbelievable. So let's talk about it. People that have listened to the New Age Insiders for years know that we are big fans of Flip Gordon, and Flip Gordon is a good friend of ours, and no one was rooting harder for Flip last night than we were. Talk about the moment. Talk about Flip being a secret luchador, which is such a dusty way to handle that whole situation, and awesome. The moment, the win, and without bias, do you think Flip Gordon legitimately became kind of a main event player for Ring of Honor, or is that a one-off title shot and we'll see what happens? You know, what comes to mind is Jeff Hardy fought The Undertaker for the title on Raw. It looked great. Everybody loved it. Jeff Hardy didn't win his first world championship for years and years. Is Flip Gordon in that boat, or is he now a Ring of Honor main eventer to you?
I think he's more of a main of honor, a Ring of Honor main eventer.
A maid of honor.
A maid of honor.
He's a maid of honor. Never the bride.
Never the bride. Always the maid of honor.
Yeah.
I think he kind of solidified himself that, hey, this is my second world title match in the past, like, 3 months, right? And I've delivered in both of them.
Sure.
On your TV. Well, not on your TV, because this one wasn't on Ring of Honor TV. It was, right? No.
But people watched it.
Yeah,
people watched it. There were a lot of eyes on both of them.
Correct.
Right? And he delivered in both matches. He was the biggest story heading into this you know, the book flip movement was huge. Sure. Cody brought it up at the weigh-in.
You got a great reaction.
You know, and so I think that, yeah, this was a star-making or a star-confirming. The NWA World title match was a star-making match. This was the star-confirming event.
Right. We talk about how wrestling is not sometimes as black and white and cut and dry as people want it to be. And one of the guys we were talking about with, you know, Colin and with Max last night was the Drifter. And people were like, how can you think the Drifter is good? That guy, all he does is lose. And what I would point to you and say is, but look at who he loses to. He gets embarrassed. Yeah, but he got embarrassed by John Cena and The Undertaker at WrestleMania. Yeah. Right?
And Trish Stratus on Raw.
Right, he got embarrassed, but he got embarrassed by Trish Stratus on Raw. Look at who he's getting embarrassed by. You know what I mean?
Right.
And so there's these associative things that come with it. And you might say, well, Flip Gordon, like, he didn't win the Ring of Honor title. Who knows if he's going to get in a shot, et cetera, et cetera. The confidence and trust they had in Flip Gordon to win that Battle Royal, knowing that there were several popular choices and they thought he would be the best one, and to get the Ring of Honor title match against Black Machismo, which was a spotlight match,
yeah.
The fact that they trusted Flip to be the other dance partner for Jay Lethal, that is a huge testament to their confidence in him as a performer. So look, I'm not telling you that Flip Gordon's the next Ring of Honor champion. I don't even know if he's going to win the championship in the next year or so. But I think what he did unequivocally has proved that he belongs in the dance.
Correct.
And if Ring of Honor is getting to the point now where they think that they need to recycle Jay Lethal because they don't have a long-term vision, then maybe it is time to take risks on guys like Flip Gordon. What did we talk about? The biggest mistake Ring of Honor made in the last 2 or 3 years was not buying all into Donovan Dijak, right? They let that guy come and go and never made him all he should be, and now he's going to be a big deal for NXT when he could have been a very big deal for you, right? Well, you got Flip Gordon. Are you going to let him get Donovan Dijak and sort of come and go?
Yeah.
Or are you going to invest in this guy and see what he has? Yeah. And eventually
you
that
just
comes
signed
and wins.
Him to an exclusive contract, right. So use it.
Right, so why did you do that? Right, because you like him, so do something about it. Bill, you know Flip as well as we do. You love Flip. What did you think of his moment, and what do you think is next for him?
Man, when the Battle Royal was going on, and I saw Bully Ray pull out Marco's stunt, and he pulled out the Luchador, I wasn't even thinking for a second that that might have been Flip Gordon. And he instantly got put through the table, and you just kind of forgot about him. And then when Bully Ray won the Battle Royal, it was like, I don't know about this. It just doesn't feel good. It's not a good taste in your mouth. And then you saw the green luchador climb in the ring. I was like, oh, my God, that's Flip. I looked at you.
Right.
And he took the mask off, and it was an all-time pop.
Yep, it was great.
That was fantastic. And I was saying to Flip earlier this morning, I was like, I haven't popped like that since Austin came out in Dallas at 32.
Well, you're right. And here's the thing about that moment, right? So let's just talk about the broad brush kind of strokes, right? Yeah, last night a secret luchador took off his mask and was a guy you wanted it to be and you couldn't believe it, right? Is that the first time that's ever happened
God
in wrestling?
No. God no.
But you know what last night felt like to me? A pro wrestling show.
Yes. Yeah.
Because when you go to a pro wrestling show, there are secret luchadors sometimes. You know what I mean?
Right.
And there are fun moments. That, like,
there
yeah.
was another big takeaway that I had from last night that was a wrestling show vibe. There weren't any signs.
There were no signs. And here, how about this? We talked going in, we praised them big time going into the event, that every single match was a first-time match. Every one-on-one competition contest was a first-time one-on-one contest.
That's a really cool note.
How about we praise them on the way out and put over the fact that there were zero DQ finishes.
Yes.
No schmas, no countouts, no DQs, no, the guy looked like he was going to win and then used a chair nonsense that we continuously get used to as fans that have to watch a certain product on TV because that's the only one. No DQ finishes. Two guys wrestled, one guy won, and nobody got buried. If you say that they got buried, stop listening to the show. I don't like you. No one got buried. Like, do you think that Marty Scurll got buried when he finally proved he could put on a heavyweight contest with Okada? That's what a burial looks like to you?
Yeah,
you know what I mean? Like, Curt Hawkins is never going to win in this company. You know what I mean? That's what burying does. That's what, you know, the Colognes made their first televised appearance in a year and a half last week. You know what I mean? That's what being buried is. Marty Scurll became a star last night, even more so than he already was. The wins and losses, you think Pentagon is going home being like, God damn, I bet I look like a loser today? Like,
lost to Kenny Omega.
Yeah, I lost to Kenny Omega, and then Chris Jericho wore my gear. What a loser I am. You know what I mean? That's not how wrestling actually works. And so just credit where credit is due that they, I think that they really left no stone unturned, and it really showed. Are you excited for Chris Jericho and Kenny Omega to throw each other off a boat?
Yeah, I would love to. I would love to see.
That's
got to
happen, right?
I'd love to see it.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't want to actually, like, you know, pay to go on a boat because cruises aren't my thing.
Right.
But if somebody wants to give me a ticket, I'll go.
But if there's an opportunity to watch Kenny Omega throw Chris Jericho off a cruise ship, yeah, then I want to go watch that entire experience.
If somehow they can find an iceberg and throw somebody onto an iceberg.
So you talk about how successful All In Weekend was, right? And so we've been here since Thursday, and we have seen thousands of fans filter in through StarCast. It is like 9:30 in the morning, and there's a line out the door to go meet God knows who. Kenny Omega might be down there. And the buzz,
maybe Joey Ryan.
The buzz is still going to be real, I think, right up until everybody gets on a plane and goes home, right?
Right.
So we've seen that if they put out 10,000 chairs, they're going to sell 10,000 seats, which is incredible. Next year, at All In Double Down, which is definitely what they're calling it, how many seats do we sell? How many seats can we sell? How big can this event become? Because I'm telling you, I mean this, All In, you're going to feel like you were at the first Woodstock this year, because All In is about to become independent WrestleMania.
Yeah.
So how big can it be next year, and how big can this event get just in general?
I think they're going to go to 15 next year. I don't think it's going to be the massive jump to double.
Okay.
I think that they're going to go to 15, and I think it's going to be in Vegas.
Double Down is just the joke because of the poker.
Yeah, right. No, I know.
But, I mean, if they put out 15,000 chairs to this one, one of the things that's amazing about this, 10,000 chairs sold in 29 minutes.
Right.
Maybe it would have taken 47 minutes to sell 15,000,
right.
But they would have.
They would have, right. There were enough people that wanted to go to this event that they would have been able
but
to.
But they would have. And I think that if they, you know, like, look, I don't know, there's cost prohibitive things and there's all sorts of stuff, but they've already, Ring of Honor is going to Madison Square Garden. They have landed on the moon kind of thing, right?
Yeah.
And if you told me that one of the next 3 to 4 All-Ins is at Madison Square Garden just as a big middle finger to everybody back there, yeah, they could pull that off. Because if Ring of Honor, without this kind of excitement...
New Japan's going to help.
Agreed. But right now, if you told me that, you know, All-In 3 is in Madison Square Garden,
right,
because we have Daniel Bryan this time,
right,
or something ridiculous,
yeah,
then yeah, they can absolutely pull that off. Bill, what do you think could be the scope and size of this event just in general?
I was thinking right along the same lines as Liam. And Cody said it last night after All In went off the air, that they're looking to double down and they're looking to go double or nothing. And you've already got the play in, the puns that play right into the name. You've got All In and you've got double or nothing.
Yep.
And it certainly feels like Vegas might be the next target.
Please do that.
Because I want to go.
Because you know what? Because we use these opportunities as vacations. And it sounds like Cody Rhodes wants to send me to Las Vegas, and Vince McMahon wants to send me to Minneapolis in March.
Right.
And so it's like one of those is fun, and the other
right.
one is Minneapolis in March. You know what I mean? So please, let's go to Las Vegas next year.
And I don't think they're going to have any problem, especially after last night and with Ring of Honor New Japan selling out MSG without a card again. 20,000 seats in New York City. That's insane.
What have been your favorite parts of just the weekend in general, whether it be the wrestling, the people? What has been the highlights over the last 4 days for you?
For us, it's always fun when people come in from all over the country to see each other.
Yep.
And, you know, we talk about it all the time, but it's always very nice to see when people that have never physically met meet for the first time.
It's really
and
cool.
And it's not weird.
Yeah, right.
Not weird.
Right, right.
You know, it's like people, you know, we have a Patreon, and part of our Patreon reward is an exclusive chat that everybody can just hang out and talk in, and people form friendships, and there's in jokes, and to watch those in jokes happen from two people that have never physically met before and being able to watch them interact is always special.
Yeah.
But something that's far more event related has to be, you know, the actual show. The anticipation for this was so real.
Most Super Bowls suck.
Most Super Bowls do suck.
You know what I mean? And you build and you build and you build. And guess what? Most WrestleManias suck. You know
right.
what I mean? And this didn't suck.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
It lived up to the hype.
You are so right that one of my favorite things, obviously, is just the fact that, like, you know, seeing Rob and seeing Max and Colin and Danny and Brandon and everybody that we got an opportunity to hang out with. But you're right. You know, we had never met Brandon before. We went to lunch and was just like, yeah, it's Brandon. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
Of course it is. And, you know, Danny...
I always just assume that we've met.
Right, exactly.
Feels like we have, yeah.
You know what I mean? Like
we've met.
And Colin had never met each other before. They're like, yeah, let's get tickets and stay in the same hotel because that's how this thing works. And so that's incredibly validating. I do love seeing everybody. And, yeah, I agree because that's the concern. Like, look, I thought with the talent assembled and the matches provided... It was going to be impossible for this show to not be good. But there's always that fear in your back of your mind that it's like, is this going to get overhyped and is it going to be the show it can be? And yeah, it was. I don't even know exactly what I was expecting, but it was better than that. You know what I mean? I love what this did for me personally is remind me
that you like wrestling?
The wrestling that I love is still out there somewhere. Yep. You know what I mean? Because sports entertainment blows. And every Monday, I watch a show that is consistently a C-. You know what I mean? Yep. And that's because it's sports entertainment. And it got me a little bit down lately because I'm like, man, is this thing I love not a thing anymore? You know what I mean? And do I just have to cover this like a job now? Is that what this is? Do I, you know?
Right.
And then I watch this and I go, nah, it's out there. They're wrong. Everybody else is right. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And that was so, it's
refreshing.
It's rejuvenating. It is like, yeah, I'm going to watch, you know, tomorrow night and it's going to be whatever it is. But it's not going to get me down.
A big dog.
Because it's right. Exactly. Because it's not the only. It's not the only wrestling anymore.
No, it isn't. I talk about this all on the show, and we talk about it as our brand, right? As our brand, we talk about there's more wrestling outside of New York or Connecticut, you know?
Yeah.
And so this is proof that this is the best collection of everybody else.
Yep.
After the pay-per-view went off the air, Cody Rhodes talked about how these are the undesirables. Well, they're not undesirable. They're just undesirable by a certain
WWE.
People,
right.
You know what I mean? By a certain group of people, because they put on one hell of a show. And I was joking about it, but I'm only half joking when I say that All In was the best WrestleMania I've been to.
Honestly, we've been to five.
And I do wonder if this has, and usually, unfortunately, the answer is no. But I do wonder if this is the kind of thing that stokes some flames. The issue with WWE moving forward forever will be that they have so much money that they don't actually have to change. You know what
yeah.
I mean? When WCW was rocking their world, they had to change
right.
because they were dying. You know what I mean?
Right.
Unfortunately, nothing that happened last night will make them start to die. But yeah, maybe somebody back there just gets sick and tired of hearing that they can't do it anymore, and so they prove they can. And maybe that's the coolest thing that comes out of it for everybody that wasn't here. I don't know.
Yeah, maybe you're right, but you look at, they're just so different. And what Cody and the Bucks did last night was prove that there's a section of the fan base, of a pro wrestling fan base, that wants this type of experience.
Wants wrestling.
They want, we are wrestling fans. We are not, but you look at it, it's like, yeah, this is the same demographic that the Attitude Era targeted. Right? And so those fans still exist, and that type of wrestling is still popular.
Yep.
Right? It doesn't have to be hokey. It doesn't have to be a variety show. You know, you can sit and you can enjoy wrestling.
Right.
And that's where, other companies fall flat, is it's, all right, we're going to oversell to the children.
There's about a 15-year gap is what's considered to be usually about a generation,
right?
Something about 15 years is when you can start separating yourself from the past grouping of people, right? And I think what happened was there was a group of people that 15 or so years ago got used to a certain style of televised pro wrestling,
right?
And now if you were 15 then, you're 30 now. And you're looking at it and you go, this just isn't the show I grew up with. What the hell happened,
right?
Well, guess what? Nick and Matt and Cody were 15 years ago, kind of thing, right? And now they're much that self-made, self-fulfilling prophecy was just like, this is the show I want to see. This is now the show I have the ability to put on. So I'll create this show. You know what I mean? And it is a genuine alternative to what we're going to have to watch on Monday. And I'm just really interested to see, does anything shift? That's what I'm going to start watching their programming for moving, like for the foreseeable future is, do I see things shift? Do they learn anything? Or do they just keep chugging along because,
big dog.
Unfortunately, the MO for all this time is to put your fingers in your ears and go, la, 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 I'm right, you're wrong. But we'll see what happens. I just can't put over the event itself enough. I know there's a lot of times that we tell people, like, you got to watch this New Japan show, you got to watch this Ring of Honor show, and sometimes people go, maybe that just wasn't for me, guys. I don't know what you were so excited about. I don't know how you can watch All In and not be as excited as we are about what took place Saturday night.
Well, aside from it being a great wrestling show, there's also the fact that it was important for wrestling.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you look at that event and it was just so important for wrestling because, yeah, it might not, shake the foundation of Stanford, right? But at the same time, they had to notice. This was what everybody was talking about for the better part of a year, and then it happened, and it delivered.
Yep. What do you think is the performance that made people go wow the most? Like, I think everybody knew that Kenny Omega, the PWI 500 number one ranked wrestler in the world and IWGP heavyweight champion, was pretty good. Was there who in particular on Saturday night was like, wow, I didn't realize just how great they were, and now I'm a fan of...
Bandido.
Okay, I think that's a great answer.
Bandido.
Why is that?
You know, you see that guy's highlights. He wrestles Lucha Libre down in Mexico, and so having him go out there and, you know, really kind of expose himself to a fan base that might not know who he is, you know, really, he did a great job in the very short time that he had.
Bill, who did you watch and were like, wow, I am way more impressed than I expected to be by that guy?
Pentagon.
Okay.
That's the first time I'd ever seen him live. I'd seen a couple of matches on TNA and a couple of matches on Lucha Underground, and I was really impressed with the match he put on with Kenny.
I'm going to put her over again. I think Jordynne Grace did just an outstanding job.
Yeah.
I think what Jordynne Grace did was go out there, and I think it's easy in today's climate to go out there and be like, I'm a girl, hit me, and be like, okay. But that crowd bought it because I think that crowd knew that Jordynne Grace could go out there and win that match.
Correct.
Right. You know what I mean? When she worked Brian Cage that way,
yeah.
And then you could see, like, look, I believe this in my heart and soul. If that wasn't the flip gimmick night, book battle royal, if that wasn't really the actual Flip Gordon secret battle royal, I think Jordynne Grace would have won, and I think Jordynne Grace would have had an incredible match with Jay Lethal.
And how fun would that have been with Jordynne Grace and Black Machismo?
And that's my... Because we've had her on this show before, I've seen her live before, but last night I think she was more in her element than I've ever had the opportunity to see, and she just looked like a star.
Totally.
There were so many people on the show that last night that just looked like stars, and to me, none more so than Jordynne Grace, because her getting right up in Bubba Ray Dudley's face and going, hit me, that was maybe my goosebumps moment of the night. But I think that there was a ton of show stealers in general. Pentagon was a great one.
Yeah. Yeah.
Bandido was a great one. I think that you hear a lot of hype about Okada, and then you're just right from the entrance. It's just an all-consuming experience.
Yeah.
And so, I don't know.
You know who did a great job? Stephen Amell. Stephen Amell.
What do you think about what he did?
I thought he was great.
I thought Christopher Daniels was great, and Stephen Amell was also there.
I thought, you know, I think he did a really good job.
I just
that comes with experience.
Yeah,
though. I
mean, sure. Yeah.
Daniels was a total pro. There's no doubting that.
Christopher Daniels is awesome.
Yeah, from what you were expecting Stephen Amell to do, he did great.
No, I agree. It was a really solid, and I think that they want him to be a bigger part of their programming in general because there's a ton of value with also like, hey, this guy's in the Bullet Club and on TV all the time.
Right.
You know what I mean? Is he going to be a bigger part of... He's in the Bullet Club now, I guess. He got the vest.
He's always been in the Bullet Club.
Oh, neat. Am I in the Bullet Club?
You know who else was really, really fun last night? Was Hangman and Joey Janela.
Yeah, that was really good, too. Joey Janela has a death wish, and Hangman Page just...
He's crazy.
He just comes out here to take human life, but I thought that they'd...
Only if your name's Joey, though.
That's
right.
True, too. What do you? What did you think of Joey Ryan's reemergence from the dead and
tremendous.
All that came with it.
That was amazing because until the back half of that show happened, you're looking at that. I'm like, this has to be the match of the night from top to bottom because it was fast-paced, hard-hitting. There were oh my god moments, and then it ends after being paid off by all of the stuff that was on being the Elite, you know, for this entire year about famous dick wrestler Joey Ryan being killed. Then the cowboy boots having blood on them and throwing them away, those coming back, him using a phone to murder Joey Ryan, but then also, you know, trying to murder Kenny Omega with a phone.
Yep.
But then to have the match end and then the fun spectacle that was the Dick Druids and the resurrection.
Yep.
It was so funny. It was so perfect. That's the type of fun when we talk about it and we, you know, come up with a wacky storyline that, you know, is like, this is what's going to happen at SummerSlam. And then we go, oh, but we don't have that type of fun here. All In had that type of fun.
What do you think of the idea that, like, we kind of live in a new world, if you think about it, because Chris Jericho is sort of at I do what I want territory now.
Yes.
But the reports that we had heard for a while now was that he made a promise to Vince McMahon that he wouldn't be part of shows on American soil. And that was sort of the compromise there. Well, now Chris Jericho, he didn't work a match last night, but Chris Jericho has now participated in an event on American soil. He is the IWGP Intercontinental Champion, I promise, even though he and Kenny didn't bring their belts. Chris Jericho is now bringing Impact guys onto his cruise ship. What is Chris Jericho's relationship moving forward just with the world of wrestling? And do you think that maybe what I thought was it'd be mostly WWE with some fun stuff scattered? And now I'm starting to think Chris Jericho is shifting gears into wrestling around the world, and maybe I'll be at WrestleMania.
Yeah, that has to be it. You look at Chris Jericho and he does what he wants. I also think that that conversation with Vince McMahon never happened. And the only reason the rumor got floated out there is so we could just all assume that he wasn't going to be a part
right.
of All In.
Yeah, that could very well be the case.
And maybe that conversation did happen because we were talking about how he wouldn't wrestle on American soil. And he didn't really wrestle last night. And the match that he set up with Kenny Omega is going to be in international waters.
So here's the thing. So here's some inside info for you. We had Flip Gordon over the house. And when he's off the air, he always says, like, look, guys, I'm telling you, I am in no rush to go to WWE. And if it doesn't happen, it doesn't happen. And I'm like, Flip, you're crazy. That's where all the money is. And he goes, I've got to tell you, there's a group of guys that have gotten together and just said, we can make money, have fun, and not have to do it on their terms. Now you're seeing with Chris Jericho as part of that group and one of those people. I think that group is very real. And I think that between Kenny Omega, the Bucks, I thought Cody Rhodes would be back in WWE by next year.
Yeah.
I don't think that anymore.
No.
And I think that, shockingly enough, Chris Jericho is sort of just like, hey, I'm 48 and I'm still having fun. And I don't know if I want to go back to Vince McMahon right now either.
That guy came in, attacked Kenny Omega, got on a plane, and then did a rock and roll show.
Right. What Chris Jericho...
That was that guy's night last night.
In Kansas City.
Chris Jericho, when he was 13, was like, do I want to be a rock star or do I want to be a wrestler? And then he just went, you know what? Yeah, I'll do them both. And he's doing them in like he's going to have a platinum record and he's the Intercontinental Champion. It's like, what is it? Who are you? You know what I mean? But right. That is, I think, a really interesting shift. And Jericho is the catalyst that brings up the conversation. But I think you're really starting to see it in general, like I said, which is there's a group of guys, Flip Gordon included, that just go, yeah, it's a nice payday, but I wouldn't have any fun there.
Right.
And fun just seems to be a huge priority for this generation of pro wrestlers. And I got to tell you, it looked like they were having it last night.
Oh, absolutely. You look at this, Matt. You look at everything that was happening. We don't have Dick Druids. We don't have Dick Druids on that show last night.
Yeah, no. The only time we have a Dick Druid is if we had CM Punk be one. I'm so glad he wasn't here. Is CM Punk ever going to appear in a wrestling show again? We can talk about that now. I think so.
Yes, because he got his face caved in twice in UFC, and that's not a viable option.
I think the reality is that people need to accept is that all CM Punk is right now is a failed UFC fighter that hasn't wrestled a match in almost 5 years. You know what I mean? Like, eventually you got to look at it for what it is and call a spade and just say, hey, CM Punk, you're not a wrestler anymore, and don't look now, man. You're barely a celebrity. You know what I mean? Like, you go outside the limits of this convention,
right.
CM Punk's a loser. You know what I mean? And so I don't think he's done with wrestling, but I think he's going to come back to wrestling for all the wrong reasons because he's going to do comic books and fail. He did UFC and failed. And the only reason I'm being so hard on CM Punk right now is because he thinks you're a loser if you like pro wrestling. And I think you're a loser because you're not good at Ultimate Fighting, and so here we are. What are your final recaps and thoughts? Because I'm just going to bury CM Punk if we keep going.
Yeah,
I don't want to do that.
Yeah, let's move on. So we're in Chicago. We don't want to get killed.
Yeah, well, don't sue Colt Cabana. That guy has no money.
That guy knows what's up.
Can you imagine being a millionaire and then suing your friend who's not a millionaire? You know what I mean? Like, you got your CM Punk is like, I'm married to AJ Lee and I live in a mansion. And Colt Cabana's like, sometimes I sleep in my car. And it's like, great, I'm going to take all your money. Like,
how fun was it that Colt Cabana had so many great moments last night, too?
Colt Cabana had way more moments than CM Punk. Imagine that. Chicago loved it. No CM Punk chance. Amazing. Well done, Chicago.
Yeah. The recap of this is, if you haven't seen it, go watch it. There are replays you can watch.
All over the place.
You know, New Japan World, pay for it.
Honor
Club, pay for it. Don't try and, you know, squirm your way out of it and find an illegal stream because you're not supporting a machine that is just going to take your money and doesn't care about you.
Yep.
This show was built on we care about our fans. We
Correct.
Care about the type of wrestling that we want to put on. So reward them by paying for your entertainment.
Sometimes I think human nature, not just in wrestling, but just human nature when things are going wrong, is for everybody to look around and go, somebody do something. You know what I mean? No matter what the scenario is, I think people just look for somebody to jump in and begin the process of change.
Right.
And the issue is just finding that somebody who's willing to take the first step.
Right.
And so now what Cody and the Bucks have done is go, you keep bitching about everything you see on TV and you're waiting for somebody to, quote, do something. Well, we did something.
Right.
And so if you pirate the stream and don't pay for it, you're a douche and you're not helping. You know what I mean? Because you scream and you scream and you scream and you go, I hate Roman Reigns so goddamn much that will somebody do something about this? And Cody Rhodes went, yeah, I'll put on a show.
Also,
hey, it's
shout out to
ODB, your barbecue's outstanding. We had the pork nachos last night.
Pork
you
nachos.
Those are just outstanding.
And it was great because right
I got two things done. I got outstanding pork nachos and a former TNA Knockouts champion called me a bitch.
Yeah.
And so it was
knocked up champ.
Yeah, exactly. There you go. It was just a full night. ODB, how's your weekend been? Your food truck has been a huge hit.
Oh, my God. Freaking amazing. Yeah. It's
every time I saw you
thank
guys.
Thank you all for coming out and trying my meat.
Everybody give it up for ODB and the food truck.
Thank you. Yeah,
she did an outstanding job, and they were really good, too.
I will be opening up in about 20 minutes.
Yeah,
good 20 minutes.
Get the pork you nachos. They were outstanding. But what a weekend, right?
This has been awesome. This is amazing from everything.
You've been wrestling a while. Have you ever seen anything quite like this?
18 years. No. Yeah. And this is actually better than that other one.
Oh, I know. Than the other Mania that sucks every year now.
Yeah.
Yeah, there were no large dogs at this event either. Only one was Pharaoh, and that guy's actually over.
Oh boy!
thank you so much, though, ODB. It was
thank you
awesome
all.
Seeing you all weekend. And go to ODB's food truck, everybody.
It is open until 2. Come get you some. Bam! Yeah,
that long ass line is justified. It's very, very good. Just to kind of recap and close up the show, this has been everything we wanted it to be because the energy has been so great. This is just a convention full of wrestling fans that have come here to have fun. There haven't been obnoxious chants. I haven't seen fights. I haven't seen people divide themselves in half like they like to do on Twitter and all that nonsense. Everybody's here to have a good time. Cody and the Bucks did their job. Everybody that performed did their job. I think the fans did their job. And I'm like sad to leave what feels like Wrestling Disney World.
Honestly.
Because it's this immersive experience. Like every single time I got in an elevator, somebody was there. You know what I mean? Like, I got in the elevator, and there's Emma. We got in the elevator last night, and somebody goes, hi, that's Cody Rhodes' mom. And she's like, yeah, I am. And it's like, this is an amazing, you know what I mean? It's like
the amount of times that I rode the elevator with Jeff Jarrett.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
I got to make fun of Kevin Sullivan for having WCW closed down. I don't think he got the joke, but that was for me. Yeah,
I got in one the other night with Bruce Pritchard and Eric Bischoff.
It is. It's like Disney World, where you walk out of your hotel room, and it's like, oh, my God, it's Donald Duck. Do you know the odds of seeing Donald Duck in your real life? Slim. You know what I mean? The odds
to
of
none.
Right. Yeah. The odds of me bumping into Eric Bischoff at home, less than they are here. And so they've just done a great job of making the talent accessible. Everybody, I think, has done their job. And All In was fantastic. A+. What was your final grade and review for All In, the show?
Big, solid, red, bold A.
Yeah, I think it has to be.
Yeah, like I said earlier, I'm half joking, but I'm not. It's the best WrestleMania I've ever been to.
Honestly.
I think a lot of times when people ask, what's the best wrestling show you've ever been to, my instinct...
You say Final Battle.
Yeah, well, there's that or my... Yeah, because everything's Final Battle. But my instinct was usually to say the 2003 Royal Rumble or NXT TakeOver Brooklyn 1. This is now the best pro wrestling show I've ever attended. And I mean that because in every way, shape, or form, it never let me down.
Start to finish. I never left my seat.
And it's been a privilege and a pleasure to be part of this, to be part of StarCast, to come down, to see people, to meet new friends, and to get our name out there. And it's been a real, honest-to-God pleasure and a sincere thrill to be part of All In Weekend. We hope that you guys had an incredible weekend. We hope it's not over yet. You must be in line for something. This is either for Kenny Omega or
Joey Ryan.
Or free money, I guess, because this is the longest line I've ever seen for anything. So it's Joey Ryan's line. So everybody's just getting ready to get dick flipped. Is that what's going on right now? We're going to set the Guinness record.
Just remember, grab a hold tightly.
Yeah, I really look forward. And don't eat the lollipop. I really look forward to going home, quite frankly, but I don't want to leave all at the same time.
Shout out to Dave Hancock and the guys from StarCast. I mean, this has been such an amazing event, especially for the first time. It's so well put together. And Just to see all these people coming out, and we've got hundreds of people in line in front of us for a meet and greet. It's crazy how well this thing went.
Can't put it over enough. It's not hyperbole. It's not just fluff praise. It's legitimately earned accomplishments. They deserve, you know, it's easy to complain. Wrestling fans are prone to complain. It's easy to jump online and to complain. And when you have a good time and you're surrounded by fun stuff, you owe it to yourself to go out there and acknowledge that as well. Because mentally, you need to remember that you like this thing and no one makes you come. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like, no one makes you go.
Yeah.
No one makes you watch. So get something out of it. And I think there was a ton to get out of All In all weekend long. Huge shout out to everybody that came out to see us, to everybody out here at the Hyatt Regency, to everybody that put on StarCast and All In general. Cody, the Bucks, the entire roster, just outstanding top to bottom, yeah, to beginning to end.
Yeah, we're on the Westwood One pop-up studio.
We are. We're the Westwood One pop-up pod studio, live on location from StarCast on the final day of what will be an unforgettable weekend. Again, thank you so much for joining us. My name has been Jason Maltov.
I am Liam Stryker.
And I'm Bill Devil.
We are the New Age Insiders. You can find us on Twitter, and please do. We are at New Age Insiders, at Liam NAI, at Bill Neville, NAI. The website where you can find us live every Wednesday night at 8 o'clock is newageinsiders.com, as well as twitch.tv/newageinsiders TV. Our affiliate shows, our pop network, what don't we do? Patreon.com/newageinsiders. Support the future of wrestling fan coverage for the people, by the people. And thank you, Chicago, All In, StarCast, everyone here, for helping us to become the premier place for wrestling fans to connect, discuss, and to be heard.
We out.